Welcome back to the program, Evan Bray. Great to have you here on this Friday morning as we make our way towards the weekend, a weekend that is full of football, could be full of some moisture as well. I know there's the possibility of snow or rain, especially today. It seems like, at least over the next couple of hours, it's that west part of the province, the southwest. It's likely to be in the way of showers, kind of that west central area. That's where we might see some snowfall. So keep that in mind if you're out on the highways today. You know, this is my next chat here. My next guest and topic is an interesting one, because we often on our program will talk about drugs and talk about challenges that can occur with drugs. But almost without fail, every time we talk about it through the lens of illegal drugs, illicit drugs, methamphetamine, fentanyl, those types of things. And we talk about the impact it's having. We talk about it from a health perspective. We talk about what recovery might look like. But there's another angle to the topic of drugs and drug discussions. If you think about benzodiazepines, which are commonly known by names like Ativan and Xanax or Valium, medications prescribed for things like anxiety, insomnia, and other conditions. But for a lot of people, long-term use, if you're on these drugs for a long time and then you're withdrawing from them, that can come with serious and often a lot of misunderstood challenges. University of Saskatchewan School of Public Health, alongside the Canadian Research Initiative in Substance Matters, recently hosted a panel exploring lived experiences and policy issues surrounding benzodiazepine use and withdrawal. The discussion followed a screening of a documentary called As Prescribed, because we are talking about prescribed drugs. It highlights the power of digital peer support networks and advocacy in basically shaping awareness and change. And I'm happy to bring to our program Jennifer Chouinard, who is with University of Saskatchewan. She is an instructor there in the School of Public Health. She's a PhD candidate, and she is doing some work on this topic and joins us for a chat this morning. Jennifer, thanks so much for taking the call.
Thank you for having me.
What was it about this topic that that drew you to want to learn more? Do you have some connection with it, or how did you get interested and involved in this?
Yeah, I was given a prescription in 2014 as a result of, you know, the stresses and trauma of frontline work, and that prescription went into a long-term prescription, and so I was on a benzodiazepine for about 4 years and then in withdrawal for a long time after.
So can you talk about, whether it's a personal kind of story or just kind of in general, what you've learned, the impact that long-term prescription and use can have on people who are using or maybe coming off of these meds?
Yeah, so I ended up finding a lot of resources online. You know, there's a lot of peer support groups online. There's also the Benzodiazepine Information Coalition, the Alliance for Benzodiazepine Best Practices, and of course, Holly Hardman's As Prescribed film. And so while I was unwell, I was watching this network coordinate and advocate for awareness and policy change. And so as I became a PhD student and candidate, I decided to develop some doctoral research on the work to basically look at what kind of impact digital support groups can have on drug policy.
Jennifer Chouinard is my guest, University of Saskatchewan School of Public Health. So yesterday, USAS School of Public Health, along with this Canadian Research Initiative for Substance Matters, held a public panel discussion on the topic. Well attended, I'm assume. How did the discussion go? What did you hear in that discussion?
Well, you know, it's always really important when we have these discussions to highlight that we're not medical doctors, we're not prescribers, we're not offering medical advice, right? We're talking about the lived experience of people who go through benzodiazepine withdrawal and their advocacy efforts. So a lot of what we talked about is how to talk to your doctor, where to access resources online, like the Ashton Manual, for example, which is a super credible source on how to very safely taper this drug class. So, you know, Health Canada and the FDA have been very clear. You cannot abruptly stop this medication. You have to go very slowly and safely so that you're not in that really high risk category. And so we talked with people about, you know, what are those dynamics between patients and doctors, and what sort of conversations should we be having in our communities? What sort of conversations should we be having in the clinic with our prescribers? And how do we move that forward? What does the future look like for you know, people who are in withdrawal? Where do they access care? What do we hope to see from the medical system going forward?
Jennifer Chouinard is my guest. There's lots of different angles to this, but I wonder, do discussions typically happen between patients and healthcare providers? I'm thinking doctors, when they're at the point that this prescription is being given, knowing that if there is this knowledge that an intention that this prescription could be a little bit more long term, not a month, 2 months, is there dialogue about, do you know that coming off of this drug is going to be a challenge?
Unfortunately, a lot of people report that they were not advised of the risks. The earliest versions of these drugs came out in the 1960s, like, you know, Mother's Little Helper, for example. But it wasn't until 2020 that the FDA issued a black box warning and Health Canada updated its advisory on this drug class. So, for example, my prescription happened in 2014, so the conversation was very different. And so now that we have these updated warnings, we do encourage people to read them and to have this conversation with either their prescriber or their pharmacist or, you know, that whole team involved in a prescription.
So I know that part of the panel discussion talked about informed consent. Is that what we're talking about?
So the as prescribed follows patient testimony in the Massachusetts State House, where Massachusetts has been deliberating for a long time on how to get the best information to patients. And so one of the proposed policy ideas was to offer an informed consent process right there in the clinic. I believe it was a written process. So that hasn't passed quite yet. They're still working through it. But in the community, a lot of ideas do go around trying to figure out, you know, how do we get the best information at that exact moment that somebody might be accepting that prescription. The Benzodiazepine Information Coalition and the Alliance for Benzodiazepine Best Practices did team up a few years ago, and they have their own document of informed consent with lots of credible resources, giving a kind of fuller picture of what the risks are. Because one of the things that we did acknowledge in our panel discussion is it's really hard to have, you know, the full conversation in a doctor's visit, which can be really short sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer Chouinard is my guest. University of Saskatchewan instructor in the School of Public Health. When you look at it through a policy lens, are we behind or in front in Canada compared to where they are in the States, which is where you're talking about this study done and the documentary As Prescribed focuses its work?
So in relation to the U.S., we have less prescriptions per capita, but we are still higher from places like the UK, for example. But in terms of advocacy, I would say there's a lot of American groups doing some really fantastic advocacy. So it just depends what dimension you look at.
Mm-hmm. You know, peer support groups, doesn't matter what topic we're talking about, if there's a benefit to a peer support group, often it is one of the most, well, number one, it's very nimble. Of course, you're not waiting for public policy changes. I mean, this is something that can be assembled quickly, but also can be very, very impactful. Can you talk about the role that a digital peer support network plays in this discussion?
Sure. Yeah, and that's something we talked about a lot last night. You know, there's advantages and disadvantages when you're online, of course. But some of the advantages that I will speak to is that, you know, if you're disconnected from a prescriber and you're disconnected from a conversation that you can have, a peer support group is a place where you can talk to other people who've gone through it. And, you know, they can give you things like the Ashton Manual and some of the top sources on the topic. And what I found in some of the groups, maybe not all of them, but in some of the groups, they're very particular about the resources that are shared, because it is a very dangerous situation if you stopped abruptly. So people are very careful with the research that they share and the statements that they share. And so being able to receive that and then being able to just be among your peers when you're suffering is really impactful.
Jennifer, before I let you go, what is your hope for the future? You don't pour the passion into a project like you have here without a vision of what you would like to see happen. What is that for you?
Well, first, I'm so pleased that we could have this conversation at home in Saskatoon. That was, you know, very, very, that was fantastic for me to be able to do it at home when I had spent so much time, you know, having the conversations digitally. So I'm very thankful for that. One of our answers for that last night at the panel was to just be paying attention to this new and rising field called deprescribing. So we talked about how, you know, there's a lot of focus on putting people on medications, but now we're starting to talk about what does it look like to take people off. And so we're very hopeful in the next, you know, 10 to 20 years that the field of medicine will continue to grow that field and that patients will benefit.
Jennifer, always appreciate being able to have these types of conversations. Thanks for joining the program today.
Thank you so much.
Jennifer Chouinard, University of Saskatchewan Instructor, School of Public Health. Not only interesting, but an important discussion. I dare say many people listening to this may have an example of someone they know who has, through their life, many of the people we're talking about are professionals. They've worked in various different jobs and professions. At some point are given a prescription for a benzodiazepine, commonly known names like Ativan, Xanax, and Valium. I gave that example earlier. And it's really not about the prescription at the front end, but if you're on it for a long period of time, getting off that drug is really, really challenging. There's all kinds of symptoms and side effects, and you don't realize. And by the way, both physical and mental. And that's why this work, including this documentary called As Prescribed, and by the way, you can go online and see that. Just Google it. You'll find it in YouTube. It was screened last night in Saskatoon. Talks about this journey and the importance of finding better ways to treat patients or better ways to inform patients when they're dealing with this type of risk. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.